It's a special meeting of the MDC Board of Finance for Wednesday, March 24th, 2021. Is there any public comments relative to agenda items?
Mr. Chairman, this is Dave Silverstone. I did have a couple of brief comments, if I may.
As long as they're on the agenda items, because special meeting just for these items. But go ahead.
Yes, it's about these items. Thank you. So I would like to comment on the agenda item 7A, which is the policies and procedures regarding the budget. And I think when you review that document, you'll see. Hello? When you review that document, you'll see that it includes rate setting. So two issues which I raised previously, but I think need to be raised again because they were not included. One was that in the discussion of sewer revenues at page 25 of that agenda, of that document 7A,
Dave, this is John Myrtle. I thought I was muting the person making noise, and I think I muted you by accident. So if you push, I believe it's star six on your phone, that should unmute you.
Sorry, I'm late, John.
No problem, Scott. Again, Dave Silverstone, this is John Myrtle. I thought I was trying to mute the person making background noise, and I got you instead. So I think I just sent you a request to unmute. If you hit star six on your phone, I believe that will unmute you.
Hello?
Yes, Dave, we can hear you.
Okay. I'm not sure when I got cut off, but let me just
You referenced the budget setting process and rate setting, and that was about it.
Okay. So this is item 7. Thank you, John. This is item 7A on the agenda. When you look at that document, I think you'll agree that it encompasses both the budget and the rate setting process that you all go through in the fall. And starting earlier than that, but it culminates in the fall. Page 25 discusses sewer revenues, leaves out any discussion of the sewer customer service charge. We talked about this last month. That charge is $7 for each of the water and sewer customers. So that raises about $7 million or so. I don't know why that was left out, but I think it's a significant enough revenue that it ought to be included. More importantly, is the treatment or in fact, non-treatment of the Clean Water Project charge. This raises about $60 million a year, as you know. It's $4.10 a CCF. So that encompasses about half of the water sewer bill for most customers. There is no discussion in that document with regard to providing data to the commissioners or the setting of that rate. You know, that rate is primarily a function of three things: the revenue from the Clean Water Project charge, the expenses of the Clean Water Project, primarily debt service and project management, and the use or non-use of the Rate Stabilization Fund. This fund is currently, as of February, at about $90 million. And as I understand it, its intended purpose is to smooth out, at the board's discretion, smooth out the Clean Water Project charge. So in 2019, raised about $60 million from the Clean Water Project charge, that $4.10, spent about $72 million and took about $12 million from the Rate Stabilization Fund. In 2020, raised another $60 million, spent about $66 million and took about $5 million from the Rate Stabilization Fund. In 2019, you could have taken, according to the bond documents, which restrict the use of the Rate Stabilization Fund only to the Clean Water Project charge, but allow you to take up to one-third of the debt service, you could have taken you could have taken up to $20 million or an additional $8 million and reduced the Clean Water Project charge by about 50 cents a CCF. In 2020, could have done a similar withdrawal from the Rate Stabilization Fund and reduced that rate accordingly. On the other hand, you could have taken nothing from the Rate Stabilization Fund and raised those rates. And I recognize that the Rate Stabilization Fund is meant to be a long-term modifying influence on the Clean Water Project charge. The decision about how much to take from the Rate Stabilization Fund, if anything, and the corresponding setting of the rate for the Clean Water Project charge is obviously a decision that the board has to make. My issue is that in this document that is supposed to lay out the procedures for the budget and for setting rates, there is no mention of this calculation. It doesn't provide for providing to the commissioners the information that is whether or not there's going to have to be a draw, whether or not at current rates there needs to be a draw on the Rate Stabilization Fund, whether such a draw is recommended, whether that rate needs to be increased and eliminate the draw from the Rate Stabilization Fund. There's just no mention of it. So I think that that is an integral part of the budget and rate setting process, and I think that this document needs to reflect that. So I would urge you to have that document, direct that that document be modified to include those calculations with regard to the Clean Water Project and the use of either increasing rates, decreasing rates, using more for the Rate Stabilization Fund, using less. But I think the document needs to reflect those that deliberative process. Thank you.
Well, I don't know that we are prepared to respond to that right now. And actually, I'd like to see if there are any public comments first, and then move on to the rest of our agenda. I'm sure that that if there's some significant commentary that needs to be responded to, that our finance department can do that if they feel it's necessary when we get to item 7. However, I'd like to move on. Are there any other public comments relative to agenda items? Any other public comments relative to agenda items? All right, hearing none, move on to item number 3, approval of the meeting minutes of February 10th, 2021. I believe you all have copies of the meeting. Is there any additions, deletions, or corrections to those?
Move it.
Is there a motion has been made to accept the minutes?
Second.
Is there a second? Okay. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Okay. Item number 4 is consideration of potential action regarding approval for State of Connecticut financing for DWSRF 2020-788. We have staff on this.
Yes, this is Chris Martin from the Finance Department. I will speak to the three items just in general. I know they need to be voted on separately. Director of Engineering Sue Negrelli is also on the phone to answer any specific questions about those projects. But I'll just say that each of them represent a State of Connecticut drinking water state revolving fund financing, one for Buckingham, one for Saybrook Bonner, and another for Webster Hill. They all concern, obviously, water projects for which we want to begin to draw down on the interim funding obligation from the State of Connecticut. So there's always two pieces, the IFO and the PLO. The IFO is kind of like a line of credit where we're drawing money down as we need it for a project. And each of these, I'm told, is between 25 and 50% done. And then once we get to a point where the project is basically done, we've got what we've got from the loan or the grant, if there is one. We do a 20-year, financing a project loan obligation, which is the 20-year permanent financing. So that's kind of what each of those items represents on the agenda, 4, 5, and 6. And if you want to take them one at a time, or if you want, however you want to do it in terms of discussion, Susan is available to talk specifically about those about the projects.
Yeah, we'd like to do them one at a time, Chris. I think we'll go through them that way and ask if there's any questions about the projects themselves and item number 4. Are there any questions? Any questions from the board members for item number 4? Chris, I have a quick question for Sue. And so in the Buckingham Street one, I'm just curious about this. We just replaced some part of it from like Washington down to Cedar or close to Cedar Street. Is this the rest of it or something? I'm not sure, Sue. I'm just curious, what location are we replacing?
Yeah, the Buckingham Street water main replacement project, we actually did some of Bucking Street. We did Hudson Street. We did Whitman, Clinton, and some of Hungerford. There was about a mile of pipe altogether in that project.
We're it's part of Buckingham, not all of it, right?
Yes, it was just, yep.
But
and
a major part of Buckingham.
Okay. I'm just curious because I was involved with the other part of that project where the state office building is, so we did some replacement there already. So, okay, are there any other questions on item number 4?
Move the item.
So, John, we have the action on this is to approve it. This is just outright approval. It's not a recommendation to the board. We approve it right here at Board of Finance. Is that correct?
No, this is a recommendation to the board.
Okay, so this is a referral then with a recommendation to the board.
To the board.
So was there a motion to approve item number 4?
Yep, Commissioner Hoffman moved it.
Thank you.
Second.
Is that a motion to approve, Commissioner Hoffman?
That's a motion to approve.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motion is made and seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, the motion carries unanimously. Item number 5, consideration of potential action regarding the approval for State of Connecticut financing for DWSRF 2021-7092. Staff, this is Chris. Is that you again on this? I think you're muted, Chris.
Okay. Yeah, I think my comments on the 3 have pretty much been stated, so I'm going to defer to Stu on specifically on Staybrook Honor.
Okay, are there any questions from board members regarding item number 5? Questions on the projects or okay. This is the Staybrook and Barter area. Okay, if there's no questions, then the chair will entertain a motion to approve.
A motion was made to approve, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
I second.
Motion's made and seconded. We were gonna take these individually, so motion is made and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, motion carries unanimously. Item number 6. Potential action regarding approval for State of Connecticut financing DWSRF 2021-7093.
Move adoption.
Second.
Has been made. Is there a second? Are there any questions? Any questions for staff? Hearing none. All in favor of approval, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, item six carries unanimously. So item number seven is consideration and potential action regarding approval of the finance department's policies and procedures. These were presented at, I think, at our last meeting. And I hope everyone's had time. I did have time to go through them online. Hard copies are a little hard to come by, but because it's a pretty big document. But I hope everyone's had a chance to take a look at this. Chris, do you have any comments that you want to make regarding the policy procedure manual?
Nothing in great detail. Just that I think we had a fairly robust discussion about this previously, and we're moving forward with these, understanding that these are as always, they're subject to change continually, and we've kind of outlined in the policy a time frame for making sure that we continue to do that. And parallel to this, as we discussed, is a checklist now that the CEO has that will be used to kind of keep us on track with the deliverables from each of the work streams. So I'm happy to answer any questions. And I know the consumer advocate raised a question. That's certainly, I think, a matter that might merit discussion in the future. But I understand from my experience here that what drives the clean water project charge is the referenda items and the bond indenture. And in terms of the board discussion, it's not in the budget policies and procedures because it's certainly talked about and discussed otherwise. So I'm thinking we can certainly talk a little bit about that, but I think there's plenty of disclosure and discussion about that.
Scott Jellison, Mr. Chairman, if I can.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Just talking about the procedures and policies, and as Chris mentioned, I met with two of the departments within finance over the last couple of days going through the checklist, and we've got budget scheduled, I think, for one day this week. But the important part of these documents are they are a living document. We just had discussions. These procedures and policies are about a year old. We're planning to bring in Cone Resnick once a year and help us through making, at least for the next couple of years, making sure that we're following our procedures and policies and making sure that if there's any changes, and we've already made some changes. We've made some significant changes in moving Treasury staff into this building from down in the customer service building. So there's some minor tweaks that will occur on this document over time. But the important part of these three documents is that the Board of Finance and the full board understands that there is procedures and policies and checklists that myself, Kelly Shane, and the CFO will review on a weekly, monthly basis, quarterly basis. And we want to get to the point where we're actually providing a quarterly report to the Board of Finance. This is really important for the future of the MDC to never go back to where we were. We spent about $1.5 million with Cone Resnick to get us to where we are. We've significantly staffed the finance department. We have this tremendous, tremendous amount of work that has gone into these documents. And we never, ever want anyone to ever undermine that. And that's why it's important for the board to approve these. We're okay with if the Board of Finance needs another month, that's fine. We just wanted it to be on the radar and have any discussions that might occur that might have some questions regarding our submission. If you'd like more time, more than happy to review to let you have that. We don't want any pressure at this point. What I will say about Mr. Silverstone's questions, and he does have questions, and I know we've had numerous correspondence between Chris Stone and other staff on this topic to Mr. Silverstone, which sounds like he still doesn't have enough information. One thing I want to just clarify on the clean water surcharge. The clean water surcharge, Mr. Silverstone, it's more complicated than simply saying there's a fund and we can use that fund to reduce the clean water surcharge any given year based on board approval. That's not true. The long-term control plan was approved. The long-term control plan was approved based on a cash flow report, an analysis that says your master plan, you're going to spend $3 billion over a period of time, 40 years, and in order to do these projects that are completely laid out for us in the long-term control plan, you need to collect this amount of money on this given year. And then in some years you're collecting more money, and that's how, if you remember the long-term control plan, and that was a public document presented to the public, and the board, the state approved it, DEEP approved it, the board approved it, and then integrated plan did exactly the same thing. The curvature of how we spend is not just what we're spending on any given year. It's based on what we need to spend over 3 or 4 years in advance. Remember, if we're gonna design and build a project, we're taking into consideration, you know, the initial spend rate of a number of projects on a given year. So we need to have cash up front, and that's why if you look at the curvature of the cash flow report that was done by our consultants. That takes into consideration the projects up front. It takes into consideration, you can see the spikes with the larger projects like the tunnel project. We need more money up front, and that slowly diminishes off into nothing. And I forgot the dates, but you know, I think the initial long-term control plan went out to 2056. We've had one curvature rate. And the integrated plan, it changes that. But the integrated plan clearly shows how much money, what the rate structure would be. And we talked about this in all of our board meetings about if we don't get the expected grant loans that the cash flow that Bob Lamb has built for us, then the rate changes. I think the max the rate gets up to in the integrated plan is $7 and some odd 60 cents, and if we don't get the grant and loans that we expect, that could go as high as $12. We've had all those presentations to the board, to the towns, and we can provide that again to Mr. Silverstone. But the point is that money is not there for the board to decide to lower the rate on any given year. The only reason why we froze the $4.10 for the last couple of years was because the projects that are in the cash analysis, the cash flow report done by Bob Lamb for the coming years of 2023, 24, and 25, we believe are going to be pushed out because obviously we don't have an integrated plan approved. So we know that those dollars will not be spent because we need a referendum to authorize us to spend more than the $1.8 billion that has already been authorized. So the point is, the long-term control plan, the integrated plan, identifies what you're going to spend, where you're going to spend it over a 30 to 40 year period, and therefore your rate must be X. And that's the way the integrated plan has been approved by the board and by the state. We don't have a choice. We can't suggest that there's $30 million left over. Let's use that to reduce the rate, because then we will have a cash flow problem when we initiate the next set of projects on a given year. So we can provide more information to clarify that. I thought we already have, but we will do that.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Patel.
Yes, Commissioner, go ahead.
Number one.
Commissioner Patel, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm requesting that if you can send me a printed a paper copy of the policy and procedure before our next board meeting. Two, I think what consumer advocate pointed out merits some explanation. So even in the form of appendix, if we can explain, that is much better than what Scott said. Scott's explanation is nice and fine, but it is more, looks like defensive. And we should get out of that defensive mode and be totally open. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other comments? Any other
commissioners? Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Chris Stone, may I just have one comment, if I may?
Go ahead, Chris.
First of all, in terms of the CEO's presentation, he's absolutely correct in terms of how that rate is set and what factors go into determination of what, if any, monies can be used to offset the special sewer service charge by the by the fund. I believe what Mr. Stonerstone is referring to is, and we have had exchanges of emails, is not necessarily, obviously, I hope he's not questioning the fact that the board has all this information and that when they do set the rate, which is their obligation of this, for the special sewer service charge, that all these issues are taken into account. But I think what he is requesting is that somehow that there's a reference in the policies and procedures for that process. So it's more of a process question, quite frankly, than a substantive question. And so we can look at that. I think we have some members that perhaps haven't had a chance to go through the policy and procedures. Commissioner Patel would like a copy of the hard copy for him to review it further. And so, as Scott said, there's no rush to do this today. So you may want to take the time to review and may come up with a recommendation to address Mr. Silverstone's process question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any comments or questions?
Mr. Chairman, when you're done.
Who's speaking?
Hoffman, when you're done.
Okay, Alan, go ahead, Alan. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you there for a second. Go ahead.
Are we having a discussion today with members of the audit firm or the consulting firm regarding this document itself? I don't know who's on the call in that regard.
No, Mr. Chairman, Scott Jellison, Cone Resnick is not here. We simply, as we submitted it to you a couple of weeks ago, for your review. We can more than happily bring Cone Resnick here if you have any questions, and we can get them on the phone if you'd like.
Well, only in regard to some specifics. I do have questions on each of the volumes. We have three documents. We have an engagement letter, which outlines what they can and can't do and will and won't do. Which is fine, and then there's the budget itself, and then the general accounting processes, and then the treasury. And so, a couple questions. Maybe I'll just ask those and find out that we can't have an answer today, which is fine. But I would like to put those on the table, and if I might.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead, Alan. You can ask your question, and then you can entertain a motion to table it. This is a special meeting. We can bring it up at our next regular meeting of the Board of Finance if someone makes a motion to table. But why don't you go ahead and ask those questions now?
So in the engagement letter, I had a couple of questions on the second bullet point, for instance. I don't know that Chris Martin is prepared at this point to answer that question. It's just a matter of clarification on the second bullet point on the very first page. So I'll just put that on the table. Now, in the document, one of the volumes, it mentions a three-year shelf life. So I imagine when we get to the three-year mark, if not before, that we'll take some steps to discuss what needs to be changed, and then we'll get the changes made. So the question I had with that, what might the last update have been on what might have existed prior to this document, which is very thorough and very good?
This is Scott Jellison. I can probably answer that, Commissioner. As you know, we brought two of the three documents to the Board of Finance,
yep.
Because they were done, and budget was the last one to be completed. So that's the latest and greatest. This will be. Chris and Kelly, that Treasury and the – I think we did Treasury first, and then we did the general accounting was second, and then we did budget. Is that correct?
Actually, we did general accounting first.
Okay.
This is Chris Martin, by the way. We did general accounting first. We did Treasury and then budget last. There are effective dates on the front of each of these. And in terms of the process here, on February 10th, we had a presentation and we made the documents available. As we indicated, the general accounting policies and procedures are really early last year. So that's the one that we'd be looking at. And if you refer to the resolution, we talked about the best practice for policies and procedures from the Government Finance Officers Association. And essentially we're saying that these would be evaluated annually and updated periodically, no less than every 3 years, but that changes to be, as Scott mentioned, a continual process where as we go along, we realize something's changed because we have new capabilities in SAP. We have additional automation in the system that allows us to focus on other areas. So there's a need to make these now be owned by us. So we certainly can bring Cohn Resnick in to talk about this, but to the extent that we have a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in each one of these, I'd sure. say that you're looking at something that we own now. And obviously, Cohn is more than happy to come in and talk about what they did and how they did it. But this MVC needs to own this now, and we do. So if there's questions or issues or if things are changing, it's kind of on us to talk about what needs to happen. And Commissioner, to your point, if there's specific areas where you have questions, we want to address them as your questions come up. It doesn't even have to be today. I believe we have Rob on the
right.
call from Treasury. Lisa had to be out today, but we certainly can entertain a question now or in the future. We want to make sure that the Board of Finance feels comfortable that we kind of own this. We have to be on top of it.
Yep. Yeah. No, I appreciate that, and I understand that it's up to us to make sure that changes are made in a relatively short order when they can be. So we've just had a history where things have not been moving along on schedule. But I want to get back to the document as a whole and suggest that as I read it, and I did, I can't tell you I can repeat every graph I saw or every chart, but what I read is that this is a schematic of dollars in and dollars out and the process by which the engine moves. And so I don't see it in response a little bit, if I might, to Mr. Silverstone's question, that this is for staff, not for staff to make policy decisions or change their process mechanically to make it all work or even be involved in that. So this is just how the engine turns as I read it. And Chris Martin, perhaps you can tell me I'm off base or correct and move on to the next question.
No, I think you're right on point, Commissioner. These are, in some ways, talk about the framework for financial reporting and internal control. Obviously, wherever I've been, there's always been talk about policies and procedures, and they can be as granular as open this, click that. I think what we right. wanted to represent here was a framework around the three. There's really three different documents here, and there's essential activities yep. that take place in each one of them. So I think that those are represented pretty accurately. And obviously, there's always if there's questions, we want to answer them. But there's more granularity if the board ever decided they wanted to pick one area and have staff come in and talk specifically about the activities in that one area. But really, when I think about what's here and what we've done in the last year, there's already changes that need to be made to these documents, knowing what we've done with SAP and some of the improvements we've made. So I think the question's good, and I think we can continue to have this conversation with the board to provide additional detail.
And a further question, digging down a little bit on the monthly close, I wanted to ask someone from Cohn Resnick or now I lost the name of the company again. But anyway, I wanted to
Blum Shapiro.
Sorry. And so, what testing, what tracking might they have done regarding specifically the month close by tracking employee X or employee Y to make sure that, in fact, following the document, things happen as they should? The gas goes in the carburetor and the carburetor, et cetera, et cetera, and it all works. And I'm not saying that it doesn't work. I'm just saying, can they provide some notion of how thoroughly that test and tracking were made, those tests and tracking were made?
Commissioner, you recently had a communication from our new Blum Shapiro's new firm, CLA LLP. And that's an indication that the audit process has begun for 2020. We expect that they'll begin in earnest once they receive our trial balance within the week. And so they will not come in and ask which individual does exactly which task. What they will look to is the trial balance and the financial statements that are created, and test at kind of a high level. A lot of what you're talking about in terms of what individuals do and what they're required to do, I guess maybe it gets to the idea of separation of duties, having dual control, things like that. I think that's what the policies and procedures are for. So when they test and they ask questions, They have these documents. They've asked for them. They've been provided these documents. So to the extent that they're looking at what you're looking at, they'll have their own questions that are focused more on, how are we representing the numbers in terms of our, our balance sheet, on our income statement, and the various funds that we have. It's a little bit different, but they're asking questions about the very same things that you're asking.
You mentioned that we had previously discussed to some degree Treasury as a unit. And the only question I have at this point, because it's been a while since we talked about that, has the Treasury as a unit or department been expanded or reduced significantly either way?
It's actually a great question, because since Rob has rejoined us, I would say he came in right at the time that we were doing the Treasury policies and procedures, and he had a lot to do with some of the processes that were consolidated. He worked very closely with customer service. We made a lot of changes with respect to how we handle cash. There's no traffic at the window anymore, for example. Rob was very engaged in the fraud assessment, which was successfully executed with Bloom Shapiro. There's just a whole bunch of areas, and now we're actually moving the four Treasury people who were at Murphy Road here to headquarters, and we've, you know, to get into nitty gritty, we actually have kind of re-engineered the seating plan, even so that the groups are together. There can be more synergy. There could be more cross training. There's more conversation about things like dual control. And if you look in the Treasury policies and procedures, you'll see a pretty good outline of the authority for certain activities. So there are definitely with Treasury in particular, There was definitely a very thoughtful approach to making sure we had more people involved in individual processes where maybe we were over-dependent on a person. There's been more conversation around making sure more than one person understands a particular process. And that applies really to all of the areas, and that's an ongoing need for us. So just thinking about Treasury, you really, there's not too much that we haven't kicked the tires on, and obviously the new system, SAP, has improved a lot of things. There's still work to be done there, but in general, there have been great improvements in terms of the collection, the billing process, and reports that we didn't have before. And again, it's just like the questions you ask about accounts receivable. I mean, you folks raised some great questions about, you know, where we have uncollectible accounts. That kind of information we have in a way in which we didn't have before. So a lot of that is baked into these high-level policies and procedures and getting, you know, incorporated into people's functions.
This is Scott Jellison, Commissioner, Mr. Chair, through you. Just to add to the Commissioner's question, if you remember, Commissioner Hoffman, when we had this comment 3 years in a row with our previous CFO of no internal controls, during that time frame, at the time that our CFO left the MDC, we had a CFO, which was a chief, which is really at Kelly's level. We had a director, which was Rob, and we had no manager of budget. We had no manager of treasury, and we had no comptroller.
Right.
We now have all three of those positions filled, and we also have numerous additional staff, accounting level, administrative levels, in all of three of those areas. So there's been a significant increase in staffing in all of these three areas. But more importantly, three very, very important manager level positions that did not exist, prior to Mr. Zinzarella leaving.
Right. Well, I think with your comments and Chris Martin's comments, everything seems to be moving in the right direction. And clearly the establishment of SAP as a useful tool more than it was before is one of the biggest steps, I think. And so I have no problem with any of these processes or procedures. I think they're fine. And at some point when we get some representation from Bloom Shapiro or Cohn Resnick, at the table, then we can ask some more specific questions if they're useful. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
I'd just like to say one additional thing on the audit. We did, as part of the internal control question, I was, you know, in last year, they did know that we were in the process of working on building these procedures and policies. And now, as Chris Martin mentioned, they now actually have a copy. So very, very important a step in actually producing a document that has been given over to our auditors so that they understand that the internal controls, as we mentioned in numerous technical discussions with the auditors and with Cohn Resnick, you know, we had multiple people dealing with multiple different areas within finance, people in budget dealing with treasury issues, and people in the comptroller's office dealing with the budget process. And that's truly the definition of internal control. You know, putting firewalls up amongst these different departments was very, very important and really is the backbone of these three documents.
So I'm finished with my question. I would just say to Chairman Salemi, if you are willing to move this forward, so am I. If you want to hold it, that's fine. Either way, works for me.
Well, I would ask the board, what's your pleasure? If someone would like to make a motion to approve it, we certainly have heard about how it could be amended if we needed it to, but that questions that were asked can certainly be responded to. So is there someone that would like to make a motion to accept this, Finance Department's policy and procedures for budget, general accounting, and treasury?
So moved, Commissioner Adams.
Motion to approve?
Mr. Chairman, this is John Myrtle. They are three separate items, so I guess first a motion to consolidate would be in order, and then you could have a motion to approve or consolidate without objection.
Okay, I'd like to consolidate them. If that's without objection, can we consolidate the three?
Yep.
Okay, hearing no objections to that, we'll try to approve it with one if there's a motion to approve. Is there a motion to approve?
Approved.
Second.
Motion been made, seconded. Any further comments? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, the motion carries. Certainly, for some of the questions that were asked, Scott, I'm hoping that if anyone feels that there wasn't a complete answer, that we can have staff prepared to respond to those at our next regular Board of Finance meeting.
Yes, we will do that.
Yeah, and at the very least, maybe together with the staff of at the Finance, we can have a they can establish a future question and answer on this procedures and a process to amend them if we have to. If it's not included, I don't remember seeing in the policy procedures a method to amend them. If the commissioners so wish, if it's there, then forgive me, I just didn't see it. But we can talk about it at our next regular Board of Finance meeting, and we'll put that on the agenda to see that these questions were answered and if there's any process for future questions regarding policy and procedures. Is that okay?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would like to say that this is very important for the Board of Finance to approve these documents, especially in the middle of going into our audit season, so that our auditors have, you know, just like we set the policy in the Board of Finance with Adam Cray, it's really important for our auditors to understand that the board is fully engaged in this process and that you've actually approved these procedures and policies goes a long way.
Well, it has been a long time since we did this, and we got slowed down by COVID, obviously, but this was something that we set in motion quite a while ago, but I think that it becomes a Bible for basically for how we operate the finances here, and I know for you, Scott, as the CEO and your staff, that you'd prefer to have something have something to work with rather than not have the way it was before with nothing really, other than the care and concern and then that people have for putting together a budget. Now we have an actual process and you can see how it works. So I thank the members for their approval on this and also for your questions about it. So there are any other items left on the agenda other than opportunity for general public comments? Are there any general public comments?
Mr. Chairman, this is Judy Allen.
Go ahead, Judy.
I just have actually a couple questions for clarification about something that Scott said about the current submission of the long-term control plan and the integrated plan. I thought he said that these have been approved by DEEP and that the integrated plan spells out how much money needs to be spent each year. But does DEEP mandate how that money will be raised to meet that goal? And for what length of time are we talking about in terms of DEEP's approval? Thank you.
If through Mr. Chairman, I apologize to the I did say that, but we have yet to get the long-term the integrated plan approved. We're still waiting for that. But my point was that when DEEP approves the integrated plan, hopefully they approve it, like they approve the long-term control plan, which was approved in 2015, the board also approved that. I believe Mr. Silverstone supported the integrated plan. The point is in that, that's like you got to look at the long-term control plan and the integrated plan is like a master plan. And it's very specific that you are going to do X, Y, Z in a very specific year. And the Bob Lamb cash flow analysis, basically you take that master plan and you say, we're going to build this over this period of time. And then they build a cash flow model that says, okay, if you're going to do all of this work on this given year, and in our long-term control plan dictates that we have to do X, Y, Z on any given year. We have deadlines. Then that means that you have to have raised this amount of money and raise stabilization fund and have an X rate to accomplish that. So, yes, I apologize. They have yet to approve the integrated plan. I thought it was pretty clear in the integrated plan that it shows what the rate and the cost and the spend rate was going to be by town based on all the options. If we haven't, the cash flow analysis that Bob Lamb has done for us, I thought, and maybe I'm wrong, but I thought that we had gone through that with Mr. Silverstone. If we have not, we will definitely do that so he can understand how that rate stabilization fund is funded and why it's funded in the way it's funded. But we'll go through our records to see what we have given and not given him.
Thank you, Scott. Are there any other comments from general public comments?
Mr. Chairman, this is Dave Silverstone, if I may.
Sure, go ahead, Mr. Silverstone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So just to clarify, my comments were directed at process, as Attorney Stone suggested. I'm not complaining about past actions, taking money, not taking money from the rate stabilization fund. I'm not really arguing the point. But Scott's last comment actually, I think, emphasizes the importance of reviewing when as and if the integrated plan is approved, whether or not those earlier models of how to use the rate stabilization fund in order to levelize or to moderate the impact of the clean water project charge needs to be reviewed again. I mean, I think that's pretty straightforward. To answer Mr. Jellison's comment, I saw the way back when the long-term integrated plan financial model. I have not seen any financial model associated with the integrated resource plan. If one exists, and it may be premature since that hasn't been approved yet, but if that exists, I'd like to take a look at that. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I and if we have not given that to Mr. Silverstone, I would apologize. Well, Bob Lamb has, in fact, before we submitted the integrated plan, we had to go through that exercise. So the cash flow analysis for building, the long-term control plan in 2015 obviously doesn't work for the integrated plan. The cash flow model was revised and corrected, and is how the integrated plan was developed in conjunction with it. So if we have not given that to Mr. Silverstone, I'm more than happy to do that.
Okay, thank you, Scott. And I'd add a comment to that is that it's been a long wait for the approval of the integrated plan, and I'm sure that adjustments are in the future. But I think we have to wait until we see an answer from DEEP on it. Are there any commissioner comments and questions? Any commissioner comments or questions? Hearing none, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you all very much for your attention and for attending this meeting. And, John, you'll schedule the next meeting will be the regular meeting of the Board of Finance. As far as our next regular scheduled meeting is it in April?
The next regular is May. So unless something we needed to get those project loan agreements approved today for the April board meeting. But as far as I know, there's no other time sensitive things. So the next meeting very well might be the May regular meeting.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.